Isn't it good to be back worshiping together? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all sound so much better than just me. I got lonely up here, praise God, but we're back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Philippians 4:19. If not, you can look up on the screen. When we were doing worship practice today with Michelle and Sarah, I had to keep my mind and not get emotional because it was so good to have them back up here. And it's just the same thing right now, being able to preach to all of you and to be back together is so wonderful. Praise God. I missed y'all. I missed you a lot. Praise the Lord. But Philippians 4:19, let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we're all here to hear from you, not a man. Not man's ideas, not man's plans, not philosophies, theories, or ideas, or thoughts. And Father, we all come with different circumstances and situations in our lives, different seasons of our life, and we all need to hear something. And Father, only you can take a room full of people in different seasons of life and different circumstances and say something through one preacher, one message that can touch every heart. But Lord, that's who you are. You're supernatural. So Father, we thank you that when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. I thank you like the psalmist of old, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. I thank you as I minister, words from heaven will flow from me, hitting bullseyes in the hearts of every hearer. And we'll walk out of here with something specific for our own life, Father. If we'll hunger and thirst, you'll satisfy us. So we're hungry, Father. So thank you again for this service tonight. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. We yield to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've kind of been bouncing around a little bit with time, but this is the last message of the series entitled The God of Provision. And if you haven't been following along, I do encourage you to go back, obviously, and listen to these, but this series will be a treasure to you going forward for the rest of your life. I'm not saying the preaching, I'm saying the content of what the Holy Ghost brought out, but it's just been such a blessing, and so many people need this and are going to need this. But we looked at Philippians 4:19, and we've talked about this scripture a lot, but it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we saw that the key in this verse is that not only does he want to do it, but it's important to know how he's planning to do it. And I'm just so thankful because I don't know about you, but I've been in seasons and times where if my needs were going to be met based on my paycheck, there's going to be trouble. If my needs were going to be met based on what I have in my bank account, Houston, we have a problem, right? One of those things. But thankfully, God says, I desire to meet your needs according to my riches and glory, he says. So praise God. And so what he's telling us in this verse is there's a supply available to you that has nothing to do with your income, has nothing to do with your job, has nothing to do with what the economy's doing, has nothing to do with what the stock market's doing, what the news is saying, what pandemic there is or not is. He says, and it's interesting, isn't it amazing that God had this penned for eternity knowing 2020 would be here. Yes. Knowing different situations and circumstances that you would face, he still said it. Yes. Even in the midst of a recession or a downturn in the economy or losing your job, losing hours, losing pay, he still said it and meant it, praise God. Because God is not moved by a pandemic or job trouble or stock market trouble. He's saying, listen, all that happens down there, it doesn't affect me up here. Praise God. And I'm not meeting your needs based on what's going on down there. I'm meeting your needs according to my riches and glory. Praise God. So that's what we've been looking at. The God of provision. Because if anything that this pandemic should teach us, you know, Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. He said it's going to happen. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of Christians are facing that, going through it. We've all been touched in some way in this, you know, of knowing somebody, you know, whatever. And some people have been touched more than others, you know, as far as losing hours, losing their job. I mean, I know people within the churches that their paycheck went way down during this time. Their businesses were affected. And can you grab my cell phone, please? Thank you. When I get my cell phone, it's not because also I think, man, I got to text this person. I control the heat and the air conditioning. I just got to check it, make sure. Okay, I got to do this test now because I did this in Allegheny. Who here right now is absolutely comfortable with the temperature? Raise your hand. Ooh, that's a lot of hands. I'm not even going to ask who's cold or who's hot, so we know where to leave it. Praise God. Wow, so all you that didn't even get a vote, I apologize. Praise God. But I'm not taking it back. I'm taking it back. But the coronavirus pandemic, it ought to teach us and show us. You can just keep it down there, sir. We already took a vote. We're good. We're good. No, nobody needs me to do anything. But somebody might. The ones that didn't raise their hand, they might, but they're not getting a vote. So anyways, it should teach us. I mean, here 2020 came. No one saw this coming. Like, we're just going about doing our thing, you know. And then, bam, the whole world changed. And it should teach us that in one fell swoop, the stock market can change. Your income can change just like that. This is America, and how crazy it was. You couldn't buy things that were so easily and readily available before. I mean, I remember going to Wegmans a few times, and the whole meat section in Wegmans was sold out. If you needed meat, you couldn't buy it. And, of course, toilet paper and wipes and all different types of things that they have. And so, I mean, this is America. You don't hear about that kind of stuff in America. This is the land of abundance. But it should teach us and wake us up that, you know what? We better see where our faith is. And if our faith is on our job, we better get it off our job. If our faith is in the government, we might want to get it off the government. If our faith is on the economy, the stock market, our savings account, our businesses, it can change in a heartbeat. And then right after that, we have all the upheaval with the horrible thing that happened to that gentleman in Minnesota, and then all the looting and the rioting. I mean, we don't feel that as much because we don't live in a big city, but there's people in big cities that they lost their business in a second. So we better make sure that our faith is in the one that doesn't change, because down here is always subject to change. And that's what this series is about, is putting faith into you for the God of provision. Because when you have faith in the God of provision, it doesn't matter what your job does. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what your business does. It doesn't matter when the grocery stores are empty. How am I going to get food? God will get me food. Amen. It's just the truth. And we see a great example of this. Go to 1 Kings 17. This is just a little bit of review, but 1 Kings 17, we're talking about Elijah here. But in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, I want to show you an example of somebody who's going about their life, and he ministered what God said was going to happen about a drought, and a drought leads to famine, and then he's on the run for his life. He can't go to Walmart anymore. He can't go to his job anymore. He can't just go out and about anymore. He's running for his life. But in 1 Kings 17, it says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, this is the king, and Elijah is prophesying what God has said, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, when he prophesied that as the prophet, and when it was going to come to pass, that didn't make the king happy. The king didn't realize it wasn't Elijah's fault. But the king took it out on Elijah and thought, well, this guy prophesied this drought, and so because he prophesied it, it's his fault that we're going to struggle. But it wasn't Elijah's fault. God was just telling people what's going to happen. And but when he tells it that, Ahab sends out everybody after him. I mean, they're looking. I mean, his face is on the telephone poles, is scrolling across the news screen. I mean, they're after him to kill him. And so his world instantly went from one way to completely not being able to do the natural things he used to do before. He can't go to the grocery store anymore. In a second, just like ours did. It just, businesses change, jobs change, your income changed, the grocery stores changed, so many things changed. But the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence or from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there. Now look at this. He said, get and go behind the brook. Basically, where God told him to go was the wilderness. Now, if Elijah doesn't do what God is telling him to do here, Elijah's a dead man. If Elijah's faith would have been in his job, he's in trouble. If Elijah's faith would have been in the grocery stores, he'd have been in trouble. Because God said, go to a place where there's no grocery stores. God said, go to a place where there's no job for you, no income coming in. Go there. And Elijah showed us that if you put your faith in him and trust God, God will come through. Yes. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom. I'm not. But Jesus, I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And we've seen things. Ladies and gentlemen, this generation, our eyeballs are going to see worse in the world than what we're seeing. The Bible prophesies that out there it's going to get darker and darker, but the church is going to shine brighter and brighter. We're going to be, because we have the answer. And isn't it amazing that Elijah was a man of God? He was a man of God, yet he was going through a test and trial, but there was God the whole time there to help him. We're not void or exempt from the tests and trials, but we are void from defeat if we do it his way. Praise God. And he says, it shall be, you shall drink of the brook. I have commanded ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord and went and dwelt by the brook Cherith out in the middle of nowhere, you know. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Praise God. And bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Praise God. Well, thankfully, Elijah didn't get his faith into the ravens either. Or the brook, because that dried up, and God said, now I'm sending you to a widow woman. A widow woman, she can't have much money. Back in those days, you know, but his faith wasn't in the widow woman. His faith was in God, and that's where we need to be. And we all need to do a self-checkup. You know, the Bible says, let a man examine himself, whether he be in the faith. Maybe you didn't have your bottom line affected and your income and that. But what if you lost your job? What if your job was no more? What if your business all of a sudden gone? What would your attitude be? I'm just here to tell you, if it's not rejoicing and shouting, and then your faith's not in God. Because those things might change, but your provision still has not changed. The avenue and the way God does it, the tool might be different, but he hasn't changed. And if we're in a place where we got worried and nervous and fearful, and when our money got less, we got scared, or the thought of our money getting less scared us, we have work to do. That's what this series is for, praise God. And you know, just real quick, we've seen who he is. He's the provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. We've been told by Jesus, stop worrying. Yes. You know, you run through too many stop signs, it's going to catch up with you. Yes. And Jesus said, stop worrying. And people just keep running through stop signs of worry all the time. It catches up to you. We saw that in this series. We saw that when they went fishing in Luke chapter 5 and their job failed them, God doesn't need your job to be good to get you your provision. That's a blessing. But tonight I want to look at something specific that he had put on my heart for the end of this series. And I want to look at supernatural debt payoff tonight. Because the God of provision wants to help you pay your debts off. Now, again, anything we find or preach must be backed up in the Bible. You know, we don't just come up with this on our own, but if you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, now we're talking about a different prophet, Elisha. I want to talk about supernatural debt payoff. Now, you might be hearing, say, I don't have any debts. I'm good. Well, what this will do is build your faith in the God that's more than enough. Because we're going to look at that as we close the service tonight. But in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. So there's a woman, she's crying out. Your servant, so her husband evidently served Elisha, who is my husband, has died. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Well, she had a debt that she couldn't pay, so she was going to have to lose her sons to go work that off. Well, no mom wants to lose their sons. She's crying out to God, or to crying out to the prophet who represented the Lord there, as the voice, the mouthpiece of God. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house. And she said, your handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Then he said, go and borrow vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when you are come in, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and you shall pour out into all those vessels, and you shall set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed or stopped. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil. Look at this. Pay the debt. There is, and he said unto her, pay the debt, and you and your children live off the rest. Well, she got some debt cancellation. But it was supernatural debt cancellation. If you're struggling with debt here tonight and you got a mound of debt, man, this is your night. Praise God. This is your night. Praise the Lord. And so I want to look at a few things that in studying and meditating, you know, you could say a lot of times, but you want to pinpoint, Lord, what do you want us to say, you know? And the first thing I want is to see here with this supernatural debt cancellation, and the thing that came up in my heart is, I know we probably all want to be debt-free. That would be nice, right? But you can't just look to the supernatural and be stupid or unwise in the natural and expect your debts to be paid off. The scripture that came up in my heart is Haggai 1 and verse 6. And I'll save you the trouble of searching for Haggai. I'll just read the verse. We don't have all night for you to try to find that place in the Bible. And in fact, I put one of these doohickeys in there in the beginning so I didn't have to search for Haggai. He's a tough guy to find, man. I'll tell you what. It says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. What's that mean? You put the money in the bag, it goes out. And it seems like for a lot of people, you know, I've been able to counsel a lot of people financially, that a lot of people feels like in their life they're putting their money in a bag with holes. And they're not getting anywhere, you know. And a lot of times what it boils down to, and I'm just going to be truthful with you here, is just lack of wisdom. Not doing the right thing in the natural. You can't, God did not give us faith to flush our brains down the toilet. I want to give you an example. It's not about debt, but it goes in line with the principle here. Go to Philippians 2 and verse 25. Philippians 2 and verse 25. Hallelujah. Says, this is Paul. He said, yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, whatever, however you say that name. My Bible makes it harder to say the name. It's got like a dash between every little thing. So I'm like, Epaphroditus. That's his name. Epaphroditus. That's what it says. My brother and my companion, oh boy. In labor and fellow soldier, notice what it says here, if I can get these pages all straightened out here. But your messenger and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, how bad? Nigh or near unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now, notice this. Because of the work of Christ, he was near unto dead. The guy almost worked himself to death. And look what it says. Not regarding his life. To supply your lack of service towards me. Well, God is a God of protection, and God is a God of long life. With long life, I'll satisfy him. Psalms 91:16 says, God is a God of healing. He is. But if you don't take care of your body, you know what Brother Hagin said his number one regret was? If he could have a do-over, he said, I wish I would have taken better care of my body. We're to do the right thing with our body, right? You work too much and don't rest, you can claim all the healing and protection scriptures you want. It's not going to work. You eat whatever you want, don't exercise, and just keep eating the wrong things, and your cholesterol goes through the roof, and blood sugar, whatever, and you're claiming healing that. Not if you're unwise in the natural. And you can claim supernatural debt payoff all you want. And in the natural, be foolish with your money, and it's going to be money with bags with holes in it. It's amazing that when I sit down with people, the majority of the time financially, and they submit it to me, you know, I don't want to be nosy, but if they need help, you know, I need to know some things. And when they lay it out specifically, usually, the more times than not, I can find things in there. That's foolish. But see, when you're in it at times, you don't see a lot of it. But you need someone to sometimes point it out to you. And I'll point things out, say, if you change that. And by the end of the conversation, we've freed up $400, $500, $600 that was unnecessarily going out the door, but they just didn't see it and realize it. Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. We have a debt testimony that most of you have heard. I'll share it at the end of service. But in that, it wasn't just confession. It wasn't just looking to him. He was looking down at us and said, are you going to start being smart? Yeah. You know, you drive, you know, and, well, I got protection. I'll go through red lights. Yeah. I'm believing for prosperity. You can't do it. You got to be wise financially. Hallelujah. You can't live foolishly and expect debt to be paid off. You can't. And maybe sometime you need someone to take a look and point things out to you. It's, you know, when we were in that season, we had to take a hard look at our life. Here we're believing God, but we got to do the right thing in the natural. We canceled a lot of unnecessary things. We made lifestyle adjustments and changes to work with the Father. You know, I just wonder, people stand up in the healing lines believing for their cholesterol to go down, and God say, come on, work with me. Cut out the McDonald's. Cut out the whatever, right? Work with me here. I'm a healer, but you can't violate. No way did God want this gentleman. You notice how I said gentleman, not his name? Can't pronounce his name. He didn't want him sick. Didn't want him almost dying, but it's like, I can't help you if you're not going to. Amen. Now, second thing, go back to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Isn't it so much better to be in church? Oh, man, so much better. Hallelujah. You know, there's just something you can't get by live stream. You know, we're thankful for the technology. We use it for what we can, but that's why I was so grateful in the beginning when we went to live stream only, that the Holy Ghost told me it's not long term. I was just thrilled because his plan is this. This is his will. Amen. Hallelujah. But notice this. The second thing I want you to see is God doesn't have money in heaven to pay off your debts. Notice in this story here that God didn't rain down money. God instructed her in certain ways in order for that miracle to happen. If you think that you're just going to sit around and just wait for the money just to come rushing in without having to do something, it's probably not going to happen that way. A lot of the miracles that you see in the Bible, there was a man side and there was a God side. And we have to cooperate. And she was given by the word of the Lord from the prophet. Go get these, do this, do that. And it worked. Luke 6:38. We know this verse, but just point something out about this verse. Luke 6:38 says, give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Notice this, shall men give into your bosom. Wait, God's not giving to your bosom? God doesn't have any dollar bills. God has no savings account up there to streamline it down to you. The transfer of wealth is through the hands of men. Amen? This is the principle here. It's not exactly what we're talking about, but the principle. Back at the Jamestown Church in their nice new building, we were in a building program years ago. I wanted to sow a significant seed into that building. I just knew, man, things are going to happen here that I want to be a part of, you know? Lives are going to be changed. And I didn't have a significant amount of money to sow into the building. Well, I could just, Lord, I want to sow. Where's my money? Where's my money? Keep checking the mailbox. Just look it under my pillow every once in a while, you know? It's not how it happens. Transfers through men. So I went to him, you know, and Lord, I want to sow a seed, but I don't have a significant. I had an amount in my heart I wanted to give, but didn't have that money in my bank account. So this woman wants her debt paid off. So what happens? God instructs. Well, I wanted to sow a seed. So what did God tell me to do? He said, "Hey, that fancy new muzzle loader that you have in your safe, sell it." That's what he told me to do. Sell it and sow the money. Praise God. Now, a lot of you know that story. That was tough on my flesh and on my mind, but I did sell it, and I did sow it, and God blessed me with a better one. Remember when I was at the gun store not too long after? I went down there with someone else. They brought me to a gun store. They said, "Which gun would you want?" I'd say, "Well, I just got rid of that gun, only that's a newer model, and it's got a newer scope and the newer bells and whistles on it." They said, "He'll take that one," and they bought it for me. Amen. Right on the spot. Praise God. God never tried to take from you. He's never trying to take from you. He's always trying to get you more. But anyways, I wanted that money. Well, God's not going to give me money to sow. It comes through the hands of man. And he gave me an idea. He instructed me. Hallelujah. I want my debts paid off. I want my debts paid off. Well, it might be wise for you to do some carpet time. Here's a news flash for you. God's not stumped on how to get you the provision to pay your debts off. He knows how to do it. He right now in heaven, he knows the answer to not only that problem, but every problem you have. But we religiously at times go through life just expecting it to fall on us and just hopefully it works out. That's not how it happens. What does the Bible say? Draw near unto God, and what will be the result? I'll draw near unto you. God is not chasing you down. He will let you be apathetic towards him. He will let you be casual towards him. He will let you not ever talk to him if you don't want to. He will let you never seek his face. He will let you live that way. But if you want his mind and want his wisdom, if you'll draw near unto him, you'll get your answers. Remember what Brother Hagin said? He said the greatest financial breakthroughs that he ever had came after a prolonged season and time of praying in other tongues. Well, what's he doing when he's praying in other tongues? He's vertical. His attention is vertical on God. Well, what happens when your attention is vertical on God? God downloads things into you. What does it say? He that speaks in an unknown tongue prays out mysteries. People need mysteries revealed, but they're not going through the seeking God. Call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not of. God has your answer. God has your answer to get those debts paid off, to get that problem fixed. Hallelujah. What does it say over there in James? It says, if any among you is afflicted, let him sit there and just hope God moves. No. Let's hope the pastor just does. No. If any among you is afflicted, let the afflicted one pray. Why? Because what happens when you pray? You're going to your answer. We all need to do some more carpet time. Hallelujah. Seeking him. Hallelujah. Third thing I want you to see here, number one, of course, you got to be wise. Number two, God doesn't have the money, but he has your answer. He'll direct you. Go back to 2 Kings 4 and verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, in this season we're in, I am trying to streamline services a little bit more, not skimping on the word, but, you know, we have young kids on Sundays and Saturdays and Wednesday nights in service and things, and we don't want to torture the parents, praise God. But 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 7, look what it says. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt. Now notice this, though. And you and your children live off the rest. God didn't just set it up to stop at the debt being paid off. You notice that? God didn't have it where, okay, your debts are paid off, that's all you get. No, no, no. There was more than enough. God is not the God of just wanting you to pay your minimum monthly payments. That's not who he is. He's the God of more than enough. He said, I'm going to cancel this debt, lady, and I'm going to make it so you can live off the rest of what I provided for you. Praise God. Genesis 17 and verse 1. Again, what's this series doing? Building our faith in him. Building our faith in him. Because there's times our debts are more than what's coming in, and we need some cancellation. We need some supernatural provision. Well, we got our story in the Bible that gives us, God didn't love her more than he loves us. We're in a way better position than this woman ever was in. If he did it for her, he'll do it for you. That's right, he will. Remember that sermon I preached? You just got to find it once. If I can just find him, he did it one time, then I'm qualified. Praise God. Because he doesn't play favorites. Genesis 17:1 says this, and when Abram was 99 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, now notice this, I am. This is God revealing who his character, who his nature is. He says, I am the Almighty. What's that word, Almighty? Almighty. There's nothing that he can't supersede. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect. Now, in the Hebrew, of course, the Old Testament was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew. That word for I am the Almighty God, he's saying, I am Jehovah, El Shaddai. The King James translated it into Almighty God, which I like that because there's nothing that his might can't take care of. But in other translations, you see, and in Hebrew scholars will tell you, it's also translated the all-sufficient one, or the God that is more than enough. Hallelujah. Well, regardless of translations and concordances and languages, do we see God in the Bible being the Almighty One? Yes. Do we see God in the Bible being the all-sufficient one? Yes. Do we see God in the Bible being the God that is more than enough? Let me just read you a few things here without going through and looking in the scriptures for time's sake. When they were at the banks of the Red Sea, mountains on the right, mountains on the left, Egyptians behind them and water in front of them, the God that is more than enough showed up, praise God. It didn't look like there was enough there, but that's okay. When you have the God that's more than enough, you don't need the natural to look like enough. What about God showing up as the El Shaddai in the fiery furnace? There's no way out of that except for the Almighty God, the all-sufficient one. You could talk about the lion's den, the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, Jesus' first miracle. The God that is more than enough showed up that day. Praise God. What about blind Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood and all the people that needed their healing, the all-sufficient one. The God that is more than enough took care of it. Praise God. I love it. Psalms 23. We love Psalms 23. But look at Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. Why? Why won't we want or lack? Because he's the all-sufficient one. He's our need meter. Praise God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is what I wanted to get to. You, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup barely gets to the top. My cup just gets half full and then stops. No. He says, because of you, Lord, my cup, what I need filled up in my life, it runs over. And this woman in 2 Kings 4:1 experienced the El Shaddai God that we know. The God that was more than enough. She needed her debts paid off. She got her debts paid off, but then God gave her provision for the rest of her life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to share this just real quick, not take up too much time, but just to catch you up. Most of you know this, but it'll build your faith because faith comes by hearing. Amen. When I started this church, it would be 10 years in September. It was across the parking lot in the storefront, and I quit my full-time job at the leading of the Lord. Quit it in June, and we were starting in September. Well, when I did that, that put us financially $2,000 short every single month. It was $1,200 of bills coming in the mail, and then when you added up, averaged over 2 years, we did this, we averaged it up with gas, things for Caleb, and miscellaneous things, groceries and stuff. It came out to average, we were $2,000 short every single month. And I tried to talk my pastor into giving me a salary, and he pretty much laughed at me, told me, I'm not giving you a salary, Pastor Mike, it'll ruin you. He did, that's what he told me. And I tried to go get a third shift job, and the Holy Ghost warned me, because what the Holy Ghost had told me in the beginning was, quit your job, stay home with Caleb. I did for the first 2 years of his life. Court was going to keep her job and keep working, and then when she would get home, I would do the church stuff. And so if I get a third shift job, there's no time for church stuff. See, this is why you can't have your mind on money, because you will never be able to obey God fully if the dollar bill is your God. So many blessings have opened up by obeying him when it looked hard. Praise God. And so we were in that, and you know my story. I was confessing and believing and got my faith built up, because at first I was nervous. I was very fearful, especially with a baby. I didn't realize that, when you're single, it's all about you. When you get married, half your life's over. Then there's someone else. And then when you have a child, everything's gone out the window. Nothing's. And so that I didn't ever realize, experience that type of selflessness or sacrifice. But it hit me all of a sudden. I was like, wait, I'm not going to have any money coming in? So I had to build my faith up in looking at these things. And so I did. And we confessed and we believed for every bill to be paid every single month, on time, all the time, every single time. And it happened. We never missed a payment. But I knew a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. And I've always been the type that's just dumb enough to believe God. I actually believe this is his word. I actually live by this book, praise God. And it's done supernatural things for me. You ought to try it, praise God. You'll love it. I know you are. But I remember the story of the woman in 2 Kings, because the reason our bills were so much was because we had so much debt they had to pay off every month. So I knew about a woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. I thought, she wasn't even a Christian. Jesus didn't even die for her. She wasn't even a child of God. I'm a Christian. Jesus died for me, and I'm a child of God. If God will supernaturally work to cancel her debts, well, I'm in a better position. He's not going to, if I'll do something for a random child that I see at Walmart or at the park, you better believe I'm doing it for my kids and more. That's just the truth. And so I was just dumb enough to, I remember getting, stepping over into that area of faith and just, Father, if you didn't want me to know this, you shouldn't have put this in here. That's how I talked to him. I said, but you did. I can't deny it. And I seen what you did for her. And there's no way she's in a lesser place than I am. So not only when I was $2,000 short every month and confessing for bills to be paid, you'd think just getting that $2,000, I mean, that's a miracle itself. But I got something else in my mouth. You got to get the word in your mouth. First, you get it in your heart. This got in my heart. So, now I got to get it in my mouth and release my faith. So along with my confessions, and I told you the story, you know, because you'll have what you say. If you're not saying it, don't expect to have it, because Jesus said it comes by saying. You first believe it, get it faith in your heart, because not empty words won't work. Get faith in your heart, then speak it out. But remember, I was the one feeding Caleb, and man, his cheeks were huge. He ate a lot. And I remember every time I fed him, I said, I'm going to use that as an opportunity to confess and release my faith. And I would say, Father, I thank you. The bills are paid. I thank you for a salary. I thank you for insurance eventually. But I would also say this, Father, just like the woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. Supernatural debt payoff. Well, she kept a journal real thick, you know, of all the things. I mean, we didn't stand up in front of the church and declare our financial situation. It's not about being a pastor why this works. It's about being somebody that believes God. Yeah. Nobody in the church knew our situation. I don't tell them until I get out of the trial. Yeah. Amen. And tell you how I did it and what we learned, what we did wrong, what we did right, you know. We never said a word about how short we were. And things every month were happening. Crazy things. I've told you some of them. Remember the time I played snow angels and a three-year supply of toothpaste, shampoo, and bars of soap, and ladies' stuff. I'll just say that. Her work just blessed, like, anybody could have access to it. Nobody else wanted it. She came home with a truck full of stuff, and it was every single brand that we use. It was Zest soap. That's why I smell so good. It was my same toothpaste. It was my same shampoo. We had a three-year supply. It was things like that. The God of provision. And in 2 years' time, on only her salary, being $2,000 short every month, we didn't not only not miss a payment, we paid off $60,000 worth of debt. You know it's hard to impress Pastor Michael Laketic. But when he heard the testimony, he said, you got to write this down for me. And I got to write it all down for him and tell him. Because it was just so awesome how God worked. But you know what? He did it for her. Yeah. And he did it for me. Yeah. Now, granted, we know I'm his favorite, but he'll still do it for you. She wasn't his favorite, and he did it for her. God will do it for you. Amen. If you'll cooperate with him and get your faith on him. Praise God. The God of provision. He's a supernatural God. So I'm into my eyeballs with debt. I don't make enough money. You're looking at the wrong thing. I wasn't making enough money. I wasn't making any money. I always tell people in those 2 years, my salary had a lot of zeros, but that was it. If you could have just put another number with all those zeros, we would have been good, but it was just all zeros. But it didn't matter. I have learned, I don't care about a job. I don't care about a paycheck. I don't care about a savings account. I got him. And I'll tell you what, that's a fun place to be when hell on earth's going on in the news and hell on earth's going out in the world and you go to the store and there's threats that you can't get enough and your bills. When you know God's on the scene, that's all you need. Praise God. Let's just worship him. Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you. Y'all need to get your faith in him. Lord, you've done it for them. You'll do it for us. If you need deliverance, you find someone in the Bible that was delivered and he'll deliver you. If you need healing, you find someone in the Bible that he did it for. He'll do it for you. You need provision. He'll do it for you. Glory to God. Father, we magnify you. We honor you and bless you tonight. We praise the name of Jesus. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. Let's just wait on him a second and make sure. Go ahead and just keep praising him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead, praise him. We bless you, Lord. We worship you and praise you and magnify you. We worship you and praise you and magnify you. Oh, Lord. I don't have a release of my spirit, so that's why we're not going forth. Until you're up here behind the pulpit, it's hard to explain what that feels like. But you know it when you know it, and you don't want to disobey it. So let's just wait on him for a second and make sure, Father, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We magnify you tonight, Lord. We bless you. 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 Okay, so I wouldn't minister this way. I'm not trying to find out people's business or embarrass anybody. But I got to obey. Who, when I said, eyeballs, up to your eyeballs in debt, that fit your life? Because I have a word for you. Who is it? Anybody else? There's more than one. Okay, come up here. Put your mask on if you want to. If you want me to wear mine, I'll put mine on too. But come on up to the front here in the aisles. I'm going to lay my hands on you for an anointing, but there's going to come supernatural ideas and direction from Him. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'll put this on. We thank you for supernatural revelation. Divine ideas. You know what? Why don't you just go back to your seats? I'll find you. How about that? That's just easier. We're running out of space here. Kristen, supernatural ideas. Yes, begin to seek Him. He'll show you. He's bigger than those debts. Carla, in the name of Jesus, He's bigger than those debts. Supernatural. And this comes up in my spirit. Tongues. You know what that means in your own heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Michelle, supernatural ideas and wisdom. He's bigger than that debt. Download things into her, Father. We thank you for great testimonies. Great testimonies. Change coming. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Come on and just worship Him. Glorify you, Father. We magnify you and honor you. You're so faithful, Father. You just want to help people. We glorify you, Lord. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord. And we expect to hear some testimonies. Now, I want to just say this because I'm just up here waiting on Him and seeing what He puts in here. Those divine ideas and things that Lord talks about, sometimes they're not easy to walk out in the natural. The greatest blessing we ever walked into was after we started to come up for air, you know, in that test and trial. And God told us to have her then quit her job to be home with Caleb and for me to pastor full time, hardly making any money at all. And she was making all the money. Well, that was not easy to do. But I remember I obeyed that, and it was right after my appendix had ruptured, and I hadn't gone to the hospital for 3 days after and almost died. Remember, I was in that Brother Chris D'Amico service, and I left early and just sweating, got to the emergency room and collapsed, and I thought I was going to die, you know. The doctor said he'd never seen an appendix that bad, but I didn't have insurance, and it cost me in the $40,000, some $40,000 bill, you know, and so I was tempted to have her then not quit her job because she has the insurance, and I didn't have insurance yet, and she's making all the money. But the Lord told us specifically what to do, and we obeyed Him. And I remember Pastor Katie Stallman of Jamestown Church texting me shortly after that, and she started listing off things that we walked into and the blessings. And she said, look what happened since you obeyed God. But it wasn't easy. So when you hear from Him, just know it might not be easy. And if He's putting that on my heart to tell you, there might be something that He's telling you or things you have to do that are uncomfortable. But praise God, it's worth it. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. That's what I needed to get out because now I feel release. Praise God. Father, thank you for helping us all. And even if you didn't say, well, I'm not up to my eyeballs, He still wants to cancel those debts. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Everybody in here, and if you're watching by live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know 100% for sure I am, because I did what Jesus said to do. I did what the Bible said to do. And if you're here tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I promise you, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up or come forward or say anything on your own. But if you never received Jesus, I don't mean you had a bad week, you had a bad month, you've had a bad couple years. I'm saying you've never received Jesus. He's the way to heaven. But you can say, I do believe in him. Well, you need to receive him. It's not just believing in him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And it's simple. It has nothing to do with church attendance or your good works outweighing your bad works or how charitable you've been. It comes down to believing in him. John 3:16 tells us that. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here tonight? You say, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive the Lord? Anybody at all tonight? I see that hand. You could put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. Now, I know on live stream I can't see your hand, but thankfully it's not about raising your hand to get saved. It's about believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. Romans 10 and verse 9 tells us that. So if you want to get involved with this on live stream, you just follow the instructions. And for that person that raises their hand, again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, there's just one thing left to do. You know, it's you've declared your belief in him by raising your hand, but now the Bible says you must confess with your mouth. Now, I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. You're not going to have to say anything on your own or come up with the words to say, but I'm going to lead you and everybody else in here and those watching online in a prayer. And the contents of that prayer are going to be confessing that you believe in Jesus. That's part of it. And the other part of the equation to get saved and be heaven-bound is to receive Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, that person that raised their hand, anybody online that wants to jump in with this, and everybody else in this building, let's go ahead and release our faith. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're real. And I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. We're going to take up the offering in a second. But for anybody that prayed that prayer, you know, praise God. Your eternity is sealed. You don't have to ever worry about it ever again. But God's got more for you than just heaven. We have a whole life to live before we get there. And he wants us to live it in blessing and in success. And he gave us his word. He gave us his help. So I encourage anybody watching, the person that prayed that prayer tonight, plant in a Bible-teaching church. Doesn't have to be this one, but plant a Bible-teaching church. Get a pastor that preaches and teaches God's word and watch what he wants to do in your life. Oh, man, I always tell people there's three steps to having your whole world change. Number one, get saved. Number two, plant in a Bible-teaching church. And number three, just do the word. I mean, it's that simple. Your whole world will change. Praise God. Well, we were blessed tonight. We're going to go ahead and take up our offering. And again, as you leave the service, the ushers will dismiss from the back. And there'll be either door you go out, there'll be a chair with a bucket on it. You can set it in. And again, we're asking people, please, to just exit the building, get in your cars and leave. We're not trying to be mean or hurtful, but there's a community out there that is afraid, and we want to make sure that people know we're using wisdom and doing what we know to do. So I ask that you put your masks on as you leave and go out. But anyways, go to Matthew 7 and verse 24. As we take up our tithes and offerings. And if you're watching tonight and you're from this church or Allegheny, it's right for you to give. And you know there's certain ways you can give. You can send it in. You can text to give. Text your amount to the number 84321. Press send. Or you can go onto the homepage of the website. And there's a tab at the top marked give. Click on that. Follow the directions and the instructions. You'll be blessed. When we hear the word, it's our job then to give. Praise the Lord. But Matthew 7:24, I won't preach a second sermon here tonight. I just want to quickly just mention what was on my heart to share with you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descend, the floods came, the winds blow, beat upon the house, but it does not fall, for it's founded on the rock, the doer of the word. Verse 26, for time's sake, I'll just tell you what it says. It says that anyone that hears the word but doesn't do it, they're not building on the rock, they're building on sand. And when the same wind waves start beating against it, it falls. On my way to church, I went the back way. You know, I like to go back way because you see more animals. actually, I don't know, is there anything else but back way to South Dayton? Pretty much every way is back way. But this way is extra back way for me, you know. I avoid the thruway, the interstate there in 86. And so I saw two fawns run across the road. I mean, I just zoomed right across the road. And I thought, you know, they didn't even stop to look, you know. They just, I want to get to their side, gone. And they made it. Thankfully, they made it. But you see a lot of them that don't make it, right? And as I was thinking about that, like, wow, they just did whatever they felt like doing and what they wanted to do. It didn't cost them that time, but it might cost them the next time. And you know that's how Christians live their lives. They just do whatever they feel like doing. They just live however they want to live. And it doesn't always catch up to them right in the moment, but it always catches up to them because you reap what you sow. And Jesus said, your life's not to be lived any old way. He said, your life is to be within the guidelines and the boundaries of my word. That's not meant to you always use the word as, it's really kind of dumbing it down. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the word is like an electric dog fence. That owner does not put the electric dog fence up because he doesn't love his animals. He's not putting the fence up because he wants to hurt his animals or, you know, mess their life up. He's trying to keep them protected. He's trying to keep them safe. He's trying to keep them provided for. The word is our blessing boundary. And so many people just run through it, do whatever they want with their money, do whatever they want with their love walk, do whatever they want when it comes to going to church, do whatever they want in relationships, whatever they want, how they're living their life and with their body. And Jesus said, when you keep stepping outside the boundaries of this, it's going to catch up to you. And if those little fawns keep just doing whatever they feel like doing without checking things out and making sure we're to check things out, there's my life within the word, they're going to get caught someday. So praise God, let's be doers of the word. This is our catapult into blessing. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to give into this church, Lord. What an honor to take care of your home, to take care of our house, Father. We get excited when we do natural projects in our own home, but how much more should we be more thrilled to be able to provide and do things for your house? So we give with joy tonight, Father, and we know you're not trying to take from us. First of all, we know the house of God will be provided. We call it fully funded and fully supplied. All the money, properties, buildings, and equipment, and all the people we need to do what you've called us to do, it comes. We call this building paid off, zero balance in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that everyone under the sound of my voice that will participate and cooperate with tithes and offerings, they will get what you said they could have. The windows of heaven will spring open. I thank you for their seed being increased and multiplied and more than enough coming their way. We thank you for the increase now. In Jesus' name, amen. The ushers will dismiss you. Head on out. We'll see you on Sunday. You're dismissed.
For he is great.